That was Send, the new single from singer-songwriter Shani, and I'm delighted to be joined by Shani on the line. Hello.
Hello there. Nice to talk with you.
And you as well. And we're talking on the phone because you were due to come to the UK last month, but it didn't work out, did it? So what happened?
Oh, I was so disappointed. I love the UK. Well, I live in Southern California, and you probably saw on the news we were ravaged by wildfires last month. And both, believe it or not, in my home area as well as my family home, we dodged a bullet twice, but it was quite scary, quite scary. So I needed to stick behind because of all of that.
Yeah, but you the important thing is, though, that you were safe and
it didn't affect
you. That's great. Okay.
Absolutely. Thanks for that.
Well, hopefully you'll make it over to the UK and we'll get you in the studio one day. But
absolutely.
For now, let's go back to the beginning and let's talk about your musical career. So when did you develop an interest in music? Did you come from a musical family?
Well, actually, I did. My father, when I was a little girl, my father would play the drums. In our house, we had sort of a den music room, and my father had an amazing record collection. At that time, they were, 12-inch records, and I used to, play with the album album artwork and stare at things, and then he would put the albums in and play drums, and I was just fascinated. So, you know how sometimes I think it's illegal, but I think people sometimes put the child and pretend to drive in the car with the car stopped and
I think that's okay. Yeah, that's fine.
Right. Okay. Maybe as long as the car's not moving. So the same idea was that with the drums, my father would kind of let me put my hands on his hands and sort of pretend to play. Cool. And I really loved that sense of rhythm, and it was a very commanding feeling to be inside of the music, if that makes sense. And I think that really made a big impression on me as a little girl. And then I would sing along, of course.
Because you didn't become a drummer, did you? Or do you drum as well?
I did not, I did not. And I probably think it has to do with a lack of seeing female drummers. Perhaps if I had seen them on television, I would have maybe thought that would be a role that I might could do. But, when you don't have those role models, you don't really envision it too much.
Hmm. So your role models then must have been other singers, and that would have inspired you to sing.
Exactly. And I naturally did sing. I mean, I naturally did sing along with a lot of their records, and that was sort of my thing. But I did have a very strong impression for rhythm at the time.
Hmm. So who were your inspirations growing up?
Oh my gosh, there were so many. I mean, of course, it all hails back to my father's collection. But I remember Stevie Wonder was a very, very big influence as a writer, as a singer. Just the beauty of so many of his compositions. I loved, great singers. I mean, from anywhere from, Frank Sinatra to Barbra Streisand. These were all Elvis Presley. I mean, these were all, and you may or may not even correlate that with me, but I think that it was the quality of the work that really affected me. Mm-hmm. It was, the delivery of how they delivered songs. And I mean, so many others, the Bee Gees, they were a big influence. Mm. We had a lot of that stuff. So I would say it was, the song, the composition, the production value, and then the voices were, the delivery method, if that makes sense.
Yeah. If there was one record that had such a big effect on you that you thought, I've really got to start singing, would you be able to name it? Would you be able to say you had like an eureka moment where you thought, I've got to be a singer now?
Oh, that's such a good question. I never thought about it. I never thought about it in those terms. I would say, again, probably being female, it was a little bit tricky because, let's also remember back in the day, there weren't as many female recording artists as there were male. So you kind of, as a female, had to sing along with a lot of men. But again, I would probably say I really loved melodically a lot of the things I was hearing from Stevie Wonder and also the Bee Gees. I remember my dad having the Saturday Night Fever album, if you remember that album, that the majority was the Bee Gees, and there were a few female vocals on that as well. But that was a really, I mean, I wore that record out. I also wore out the Sgt. Pepper album. So, you know, I'm just kind of flashing back on things, but those were things I really remember.
When did you actually start recording yourself?
So I moved to Los Angeles as a teenager. And at that time, we had the ability to get these sort of small recording units in our homes at that time. And I worked with people that had that. But I also, I grew up in a very small town in Arkansas, and we didn't have too many opportunities there. But I did get to go to the recording studio right before I moved to LA, and I got to record in a big recording studio when I was 16. Cool. That was my first demo recording on two original songs, and I really got the fever then. I said, okay, this is it. This is what I'm going to do for sure. But it took time to get to a place where I could be in a big recording studio in Los Angeles, so... I got the fever for that in Arkansas, but in LA it took time, you know, to sort of go from writing demos and working with people in homes, you know, to get to be in a big studio.
Yeah. So you really started your recording, because you've got four albums, haven't you? So you recorded those in LA,
yes.
Did you?
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Everything that I've recorded, all the albums I've released have been, recorded in LA.
Wow. And you had four albums between, I think, the last one, I think, was Velvet in 2013. So in the meantime, we'll break off from the music a little bit, and we'll talk about your acting, because you act as well, don't you?
I do. You know, it's always been tough, because going back to that being the little kid, I was really that kid that you know, loved to perform and would sort of go around and invite the neighbors to come to sort of, you know, I'm going to put on a play at, you know, 3 o'clock in my garage, my carport, you know, and I sang, and I, you know, just made things up. So that was sort of in me as a child too. And that was part of the reason why, you know, moving to LA was very important, to be able to get proper instruction. So when I moved to LA, I studied method acting, if that makes sense. You know, it was sort of the Meisner method I studied for a number of years. But it became really challenging because I had to make a choice at one point, because being a singer, it means touring. And it's very tough to be on the road and be gone and then sort of be looking for jobs as an actor, you know. So I got to do quite a bit, but at a certain point, I really had to break off and decide that, yes, I'm going to go out and tour and you know, so it's been a juggle. It's been a dance of that.
You're still juggling it, though, aren't you? Because you've had a recent venture.
Yes.
Your City of Crows, was it? Came out this year, is that right?
Yes. Well, we're still filming it, actually. I filmed a couple of months ago, and it's sort of a hybrid project that we're doing with some Asian partners. And so we've had to film in waves due to availability and scheduling and all those things. But yes, I've got a role in that, and I've done the theme song for the film. So
it sounds an interesting one, because it's a political thriller with supernatural elements. That must be quite an interesting story.
It is. It's quite unique. And I enjoyed working on the theme song for it, because it's sort of a cinematic, you know, theme musically as well.
Okay. Now, back to your musical projects. Now, you haven't had a new album out for a little while, but you have released quite a few singles over the last 18 months or so, haven't you?
Yes, I have. And that's the beauty of, you know, the way we sort of can release music now that, I mean, I love the format of releasing an album, because it's, you know, conceptually something that from beginning to end, you can kind of take the listeners on, you know, a ride with you of where you were at in that sort of headspace. But I'll tell you, it's really tough when you've got music that's complete now to sort of sit on it for 9 months or a year the way we do. There's that, because you know you can release it. So I've struggled with that, because I do have some music that's ready to go that I am sort of sitting on right now, and I'm going back and forth with my team about this. You know, do I just throw it out there as a single, or should we hang on to it and let me record a few more? You know, so it's a different world now.
Yeah, that's right, because I mean, we were talking to a band a couple of weeks ago where they actually they had to sit on their album for 18 months because they were on a small label, and they had to fit in the schedule with everybody else, and it can be frustrating, can't it?
It's very frustrating because, you know, as an artist, we all kind of deep down, we need that approval. We need that validation from an audience, you know, to tell us that we did well and and that it was received, and you know, it gives us that refuel of our battery to kind of recharge to keep going sometimes, you know? So when you're sitting on it, you just sort of feel like, am I relevant? Do people care what I'm doing? You know? And, those are the deep feelings you struggle with internally.
Mm. Now, your recent single is Send, and that was inspired by the rescue of an animal that you saved over a year ago. Is that right?
Yes, yes. A very, very personal story for me. I have an animal rescue. I'm a nonprofit that I formed in LA, based in LA, but we sort of do work globally as well. But my charity, it's called Voices Out. We've saved particularly animals that were scheduled to be euthanized, and that's typically the ones that we focus on. And we have a big problem with that here in the U.S. And so one particular animal we saved, just due to timing, we couldn't find a home, and she ended up staying with my family during a period. And then we struggled with some illness that my mother went through, and she became kind of like a little companion animal for my father during this rough time. And fortunately, all went well. My mother recovered, and we knew we had to find a home for her. And one day, the perfect home came along, and we had to part. And so it was this very sort of bittersweet, you know, parting ways, but we knew that we all had done something amazing for each other. It was like, you know, as they say, who rescued whom? and deeply, deeply it affected me having to let her go, and that was sort of the inspiration for the song.
Yeah, very personal tune then, really. It's a very personal story.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Okay. Yes.
So we're nearly at the end of 2019, so next year we're going to ask what that holds in store for you. Obviously, you've got the album, which you hope to be releasing maybe at some point, and then touring.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And I've done a few more theme songs for some other films. There's another feature film that I've it's called American Fighter. I've written the theme song for that film, and looking forward to that coming out next year as well. I don't have the month, but it will be out in the market. Great story about an American immigrant who faces a lot of hard times. So it was it's another very personal message kind of song. There's a lot of fun stuff I'm looking forward to.
Any plans past that? Is there anything you particularly want to do that you think, well, actually, I'll get the album out of the way and we'll get these records out of the way, and then I can have a look at something else?
I always like to do collaboration. So I keep all of my options open for collaborations. I used to do a lot more of it in the years prior to now, but I think as I've gotten involved in so many movies, I haven't had as much time. But I really love recording with artists from different countries and collaborations, whether even if it means in different languages. So I'm hoping I can do more of that in the future, working with artists from different countries. And I see a lot more mashups, as we call them, in the music industry, where cross genre, and those are really fun when you kind of break rules and, you know, really, really collaborate on a new level.
Well, hopefully you'll make it over to the UK at some point next year, maybe.
Oh, for sure. In fact, we're talking about it now, trying to reschedule some plans. So I love, truly, I know you're just a bit outside of London, I believe, right?
Not too far out. People sometimes think we're part of London, we're that close to it, but we're not part of London.
Yes. I have to tell you that I have very, very close family friends that are just outside of London as well. And I've truly traveled all over the world. And I have to say, without, not just because I'm speaking to you, but London is truly one of my top three favorite cities in the whole world. Yeah. So any chance I can go to London, I'm there.
Brilliant. Well, let us know when you do come over anyway. So keep us informed as well about all your future projects and Voices Out, and with the new music and the album. Shani, it was fantastic to talk to you on the phone today, and we'll be keeping an eye on you. So best of luck with everything.
I so appreciate it. Thank you for all your support.